Does that meet with everybody's approval? Are there any changes or additions that people would like to see on the agenda for tonight? We're all good? Wave your hands in the air. All right, cool. All right, so in terms of updates, I don't know everybody here, so I was given a list of initials, so hopefully people know who I'm talking about. So I guess first we have Bill.
Update.
Betty!
Hello, everybody. Today at 11:30, we formed up a march, went to the Capitol, and had a good time hanging out in the rotunda. We didn't sing, so it wasn't quite as fun as it could have been, but we did tell a bunch of stories and make a few uniformed police a little bit nervous, so that was kind of neat. Then we formed up and figured out what we were gonna do after leaving the Capitol rotunda today. And then after that, we went out and hung out, watched the firefighters parade, which was also really cool. I don't know if anybody else caught that. And then we got here. And the major amount of time today was spent trying to figure out the police situation. Where we sit right now is that we do not have to leave the park tonight. The downside is that they've only extended it by a day, so we're going to end up revisiting this topic tomorrow, and that's about where we are as far as my updates go. Thanks.
DGP, who's that? Is there a DGP out there? That's you.
He's small.
I don't have anything, I think. Well, your updates really quick, and then go do that.
Okay, as far as information station is concerned, most importantly, there was that there is the sign-up list that's been disseminated. All of you who haven't signed up, please do so. That's what we mostly worked on today, getting lots of people signed up for that. Additionally, there are now pages that have information as to what our rights are at the park. What the situation is between us and the police and such. Those have changed as per Bill's announcement. And I'm also supposed to be helping chair the food committee. We've got lots of people bringing in tons of food. That's all available free of charge. We haven't put any limits on it. Just asking if you would like to bring in food, that it preferably be non-perishable. But if it is perishable, bring it and be ready to serve it all. Don't keep it around. You don't have the ability to store it here.
I was motioning at David Bryan to come up. And do you have any updates?
Yeah. I wasn't following your motion. Instinct brought me towards you. Hi, I'm DB, Arts Committee and Arts and Literature. I want to give a thanks to everybody who's taken their own motivation, gathered materials, made their own signs for the marches, as I've been busy organizing different things. I'm getting a list of people who have signed up for the Arts Committee. I am negotiating with People's Art Collective on Southside Madison, where we were originally doing General Assembly meetings. I'll slow down. And talking about a continuing working space there for arts production. That's about it.
And Teddy from the demands committee has a quick update.
Yeah, just want to let everybody know that the sort of working statement on demands that we voted on overwhelmingly majority yesterday has been now posted on the Occupy Madison Facebook page, the community page that had over 5,000 people on it. It's posted as a note. You can find it and then share it widely so that people are, know what we've decided on as a way to mobilize more support for this. So that's really all I want to say.
Yeah, and folks should know it is a document in progress, I guess. And so people do, after you've read through it, have suggestions for changes or additions, you should contact Teddy or Rob. And let them know, because we do want it to be, you know, want it to be a vital document. And what they've put forward so far, I think, is absolutely fantastic. So people should spread it out as far and wide as they can. Okay, so next, direct action, and that's DGP again.
This time I actually have things to say. So last night we had a meeting over at the backstop that Taylor and Miles helped lead and facilitate. So thank you to everybody who came out to that working group that we had. We nailed down two very specific actions that I think are really important because the thing that made the Occupy Wall Street movement so powerful is that they were able to very successfully not just stay in their occupation zone, but also move out into communities to highlight some of the things that they were occupying Wall Street for. So on Tuesday, the 11th, we're having an action on the banks on the square. We'll be leaving from the staging area at about 9 a.m. We'll be picketing M&I, U.S. Bank, and Chase on the square. I don't know what the order of that will be. But we're going to be sticking around there there will be a presence down there most of the day. There's going to be a rally-ish thing at noon, and then staying and picketing and leafleting outside of the banks until about 5. And then the next day, we're having a big action at Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, which will be... it's again going to be an all-day picket outside of their... building, but we're going to really try to build for three times really, which is we're going to go for a 7 a.m. rally so that there's a presence when they're getting to work. So we're going to be there at 7 and if folks can really push that out. And then again at noon, and then again for probably hopefully the biggest rally at 4 to 6, which will be when they're just about the time that they're leaving.
So the thing about these two actions.
You gotta speak up.
Okay, so the thing about these two actions that's gonna be really important is that we get big numbers at these actions, and that's how we're gonna build not only the occupation but whatever movement we hope to have moving forward is gonna be built from these actions. So. We're hoping, if anyone is a member of a union or a different group, affinity group, faith group, or any group that would be at all interested in these kind of actions, if you could take it to your board where you have the two events up on Facebook. I'm taking the point role on both actions, so I guess if you have any questions about it, I can give you my phone number, get it afterwards. The biggest thing though is if we can make sure just to get a ton of people out to these actions. So if you are a member of, is there anyone here who is a active member of a union?
Yeah.
If you, especially union members or members of organizations such as, what was it? Organizing for America or ISO, ASO, whatever. If you're a member of one of those organizations, if you could see me so that we can talk about how to get that out to people's lists, that would be great. And if you have any other questions, come find me afterwards.
Experiencing technical difficulties. Is there any discussion on either of these two actions?
Yes, it's facebook.com/OccupyMadison99, or is it just Occupy Madison?
Just Occupy Madison.
Yeah, facebook.com/OccupyMadison. Yep.
There's also www.occupy-madison.org. That's a website. It's just a WordPress website. It hasn't It's not pretty yet, but it is an official page.
Did everybody hear that? www.occupy-madison.org. Young woman in a blue t-shirt in the back.
Yep, I think especially with the bank action, like if there's consensus about like within the rest of the group about saying that we will be meeting here at the staging location and then going to one of the banks on the square throughout the day to picket, is there pretty much consensus that we can just say we'll be at one of the banks? The only reason I had said like that we had chosen the three was that they were all on the square and that they're all like very like easily picketable like in one circuit depending on how many people we have. So that was the only reason for the three that I had mentioned. And I mean, in terms of the not giving like a heads up to corporate America where we're coming, I think that's a very good point as well. So I'm totally open to discussion, and I think Sam, if you wanna facilitate that.
Christian.
Use the mic.
Yeah,
there's a mobile mic down there too. It might be easier if people use that if they can, just so folks can hear.
Okay, so US Uncut has worked with all these banks on the square. It is like a very good way to just do the circuit, just like do the lap of banks. I mean, it's a lot of fun. They are definitely going to close their doors if they know you're coming. But that can be a strategy as well. Once you have a couple of actions of, hey, you know, like we get into this bank and we start doing a song or start doing chants and that sort of thing, when you can let them know and expect us, you know, like the, you know, we are anonymous, expect us, that sort of line. If they expect you, they will lock the doors and you don't even need to go. They've just closed their doors, lost hours of business, and they have to explain to all their customers why and that sort of thing. And you didn't even have to lift a finger. All you did was post a Facebook group. And if they're always randomly having to turn their head and look over their shoulder, they're never going to know where it's coming from. That's beautiful, I think. Okay. Yes.
Direct response to
baseball,
just a direct response to what he said real quickly. Funny little story. Harris Bank bought M&I, and so all the security guards who have kicked a bunch of us out of M&I Bank were all fired. They actually told us that they were going to be on our side now, and then they got fired. So none of the security guards at M&I Bank actually know what we look like anymore. So it's kind of like a fresh start.
Also, Christian, can we count on... Can I count on your help on the U.S. Uncut side, especially for those two actions?
Cool. Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say in response to the earlier comment that one advantage of picking a single bank, or at least picking a sort of site, is that I know one thing is that a lot of people, sometimes they're not able to make it here in time to convene with the whole group, and so they want to meet people on the square. So if people can know roughly where the group is going to be in any given time, I think that's really helpful to get more people out. Because, you know, we may not be able to guarantee that we can get, you know, 100 people marching from here, but more people will probably show up once we're on the square. So just, you know, thinking about that with the strategy.
Hi, I'm just trying to understand the core reason where picketing M&I and the other one, Chase. Like, how much money did the government give to them? And I'm just trying to understand, that's all.
I'm gonna let
you really quickly?
So the working group had picked those three banks, Chase, M&I, and U.S. Bank, because for a few reasons. First of all, especially M&I had received TARP bailout money and then didn't pay it back when their CEOs took home record profits. Also, those are three banks that have been just disastrous for not only Madison, but Milwaukee and every area in the state and the country when it comes to the foreclosure crisis. So these are banks that really are representations of one of the biggest things that we're protesting and demonstrating about, which is that we as the 99% didn't create the economic collapse, the 1% did, and we're shouldering the responsibility for fixing the economy.
Using our money, right?
Yeah, using our money. And then Sam, I think, can talk in more depth about that if there's...
Thank you.
Well, let's since I'm up here, why don't we go to the gentleman in the purple shirt and then the woman in the black vest?
I just wanted to put forward something I read about online with protesting banks that they say can be very effective with a small group, which is not so much picketing as going into the bank and everybody getting in line and taking a really long time at the teller windows and just clogging up their gears. And then maybe simultaneously have people leafleting outside, but the main goal being to really just mess with them and force their business to slow down. And I'll find the site and read more on the details about it, but they said, 10 or 20 people can take hours away from a bank if you plan it right.
Get in there and draw your money out.
Right, and they said if you find someone who's a member of the bank, it can really be especially powerful. So.
The woman in the black vest.
Isn't tomorrow a bank holiday?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Columbus.
Tuesday.
Okay. Just to respond to the gentleman in the purple shirt, it is true that when you go into the bank, it actually can jam up their lines. We did several actions along that line this summer. Problem that we have now is most of the downtown banks, if they see a group of people under 35 walking towards their building, they know pretty much that you're there to picket their bank. It's hard to sort of keep certain signs and whatnot at bay, and generally they lock their doors. However, that's equally effective. We have consistently been able to shut down M&I Bank for entire afternoons because they just lock everything up as soon as they see protesters coming. So I do think that the picket will actually probably do its job. Chase Bank, last time we tried to march there with US Uncut and Wisconsin Resist, they locked the bank before we'd even gotten around the corner. Like, we weren't even visible. They had heard a march was on the way and they shut the bank down to keep us from going inside. So, either way we win, because they're shut down and they lose, business and we're wasting their time. So, cool. Is there any other discussion on this? Oh, yes?
Hi. I just realized, I've had money in M&I for a lot of years and it's still in there. The only reason I haven't taken it out is because I haven't really researched different credit unions. I'd like to put it in a credit union. I haven't just, figured out which one to put it in yet. But if anybody else here, has money in any of these banks, whichever bank we're at a particular day, I think we should go in there and very loudly tell the teller that we'd like to withdraw our money and why we're there withdrawing it, because we're sick of them using our money to pad the pockets of the 1% and so forth. And another thing, I've actually got a credit card. I got it through Credo, which is a great company, but it's actually sponsored by the US Bank. So, that's another thing I could do. Of course, I could contact Credo and tell them how I feel about that. But when we're at the US Bank, I could cut it and just talk about why I'm doing it very loudly so people in the bank can hear me. So that's just something that just came to mind at this moment. I thought maybe,
No, that's definitely something that we didn't specifically plan that in, because I didn't want to force a bunch of families who have these bank accounts to make a really big decision to take their money out of a bank in 2 days. But I would love to incorporate that into the action as well. But when we're in a bank telling tellers how we feel, we should always make sure to remember that they're also part of the 99%. Only 3% of tellers have ever been able to unionize. It's almost forbidden in the banking industry, and we have to remember that these are people as well
who are being abused by the system, and they don't get the wages that the company bosses do. So I think that's also important to keep in mind, even when we're wanting to make our voice heard. I think they will always tell it to people, their higher ups, which then gets on up the chain. But just remember their humanity and that they're part of the 99% as well. So, I guess to brass tacks, everybody good with the plan for direct action for the next couple of days? Pick it at M&I Bank, pick it at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. You don't get nearly enough of our attention. All right, excellent. So, moving on, Alan is going to be here to talk about a very, very important march and rally that will be happening on Saturday. Last night we did vote to actually join with the Madison Area Peace Coalition in their march and rally on this 10th anniversary of the war in Afghanistan.
Hi, my name is Alan Ruff, and I'm one of the founding members of the Madison Area Peace Coalition that formed almost 10 years ago, maybe 10 years ago this coming week, on October 21st, 2001. At that initial meeting, we had far more people at those initial meetings that are currently here today. The coalition is still going. Why? Because the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are still going.
That's right.
How many people here would know what to do with $10 billion if you had access to it? What would you do with $10 billion? Now, $10 billion is the amount that's spent every single week to wage war in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's just Afghanistan and Iraq, and that's just what's publicly available. Those wars at present have cost $4.4 trillion. $4.4 trillion. Those wars are not fought simply or solely for 1% of the population, because there's not a corporation, you cannot name a corporation in the United States of America that doesn't benefit from the war spending the military complex.
That's right.
I don't buy the argument of this isn't about right and left, because it is the right. It is the imperial powers, the corporation backers, the banks, and so on and so forth that wage these wars. Their kids don't go.
That's right.
Their kids don't go. Think about what Madison, Wisconsin could do with $10 billion a week.
That's right.
Schools, housing, infrastructure, food, healthcare. You name it, $10 billion a week boggles the mind, $4.4 trillion. I raise this because it's absolutely absurd, it's absolutely wrong-headed to not connect that war spending to the war at home against the popular classes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Fundamentally absurd. Now, this coming Saturday, the 15th, beginning at 11:30 on the Library Mall, there's going to be a demonstration called by the Madison Area Peace Coalition and endorsed by a number of trade unions, because working class folks understand who's getting screwed by this spending. Another important link. That $4.4 trillion, most of it has been borrowed by these corporations. Who do they borrow from?
Right.
The banks. Mm-hmm. $280 billion a month. $280 billion a month goes to nothing but the interest on the loans taken out by the United States government to the banks. Now understand that in one way, shape, or form, when you consume in this culture, you're consuming from corporations that benefit from those wars. Those wars not right now, not just in Afghanistan, in Iraq, but in Yemen, in Somalia, still across Central and South America, counterinsurgency wars for empire, for not just the 1%, which is actually quite minuscule, and it's absurd what they suck off of all of us, but for a vast class far greater than the 1% we talk about here that benefits from these imperial wars.
Boycott!
Osama bin Laden is dead. Al-Qaeda is decimated, ineffectual. Don't buy the bullshit when you hear Al-Qaeda this, Al-Qaeda that. Al-Qaeda is finished. But that's what they sell. They sell the fear. They sell the terror. The fear of terror. Come Saturday. Join every occupation movement in this country and in this world has linked the wars at home and the wars abroad.
That's right.
We must do the same. Join us 11:30 on the Library Mall this Saturday. Thank you.
Yeah, all out on Saturday. All out on Saturday, and I think that, you know, spread the word, talk to everyone you know. 10 years is 10 years too long. 10 years. I mean, there's some people sitting out here who are probably children when we initially went to war. This is the longest armed conflict that the United States has ever been involved in. It's time to bring the troops home. The gentleman here with his hand up.
So we've been invited to march along with this protest of the war. My question is, do we want to have two individual marches that meet up, or do we want to, from the get-go, be one massive march?
List is open. Any discussion?
I think many of us might have a particular agenda that we're passionate about, you know. I'm a vegetable grower, a sustainable organic vegetable grower, so my thank you all for wanting good, clean food. My biggest pain in the ass is Monsanto, you know. And so I've got a lot of literature that I'm going to be handing out against Monsanto and against genetically modified organisms in our food and so forth. But I think we can each carry whatever signs we want to carry. We can be handing out whatever flyers we want to hand out. That's my idea.
So the young man did raise an interesting question, though. How do people want to approach this? One mighty united march or two separate feeder marches?
Solidarity.
Solidarity, honey.
I've got a couple hands up.
All in favor of solidarity?
Oh, number one, one mighty march.
One mighty march.
We're all at the mall at 11:30. Yes. All right, excellent. All right, so really the last thing on the agenda is a call out from the organizers for Occupation House. People drift in and out of this park at all times of the day. And we've got fantastic people who've been working at the information station. However, there's not enough of them. And there really is a need for people to volunteer, particularly if you have daytime availability, to sit at the information station at the park, let people know what's going on, disseminate information and the like. If you have interest in doing that, please go and see people at the information station. And then also there is a brother in the audience here named Sean, who's from Philadelphia, who just wanted to say a word or two real quickly.
Can everyone hear me all right? Okay.
Hi guys. I'm riding my bike across the country right now. I started in San Francisco. I'm going home to Philadelphia. I rode into Madison a few hours ago. Woo! Woo! I rode into Madison a few hours ago. I've never been here before. So I'm really appreciative that y'all are out here. I didn't know that there was going to be an Occupy Madison. I don't have a computer on my bicycle, so I didn't know about the Facebook page or the fake page. But the point, I don't just want to talk about that. The point that I'm raising is back in Philly, I do a lot of prisoner justice work. And it's important also to remember that when we're talking about gentlemen over there, raised the issue of the military industrial complex. We also have a prison industrial complex. And big business goes along with those prisons. And the tough part of that situation is that while we can all gather here in this park today and we can raise our voices and we can gather on Tuesday and we can gather on Saturday, there are 2.3 million people in the U.S. who can't. They can't gather anywhere except for in the mess halls, and usually they're still set apart in small groups. So we have to remember constantly there's a big portion, actually the largest prison population in the world, right here in the United States, that's also exploited severely by large corporations who are making quite a pretty penny off of them. And then when you talk about budget cuts, particularly across the country, to programs like education, and then you have, on the flip side, you have increased budgets in correctional departments and new facilities being planned. There's a very clear connection between the two that needs to be recognized. Anyways, I'm actually, when I get back to Philadelphia, I'm starting a new fundraiser, a new fund. I sit on the board of a group called Books Through Bars, and I don't know if there's one in Madison that's similar. It's a prison book project. What's it called?
Well, I work with the Friends of Goodman South Madison branch, and sometimes as a friends group, we will work with our book sales and work with prisons.
Okay, right on. And also there's a BFP in Madison. That's good. Anyways, if anyone here is connected with that, basically I will cut it short, I promise. The number one book requested by prisoners across the United States is The Dictionary.
Wow.
Beyond any other book, beyond GED prep books or the Bible or, mystery novels. The Dictionary is the number one most requested book across the country. And that is very revealing as to what kind of resources or lack thereof in terms of education are accessible for prisoners, people who are incarcerated. The idea of a prison library is a big fat myth. It exists in some facilities, but a lot of times the door never even opens because there's no librarian to staff it. Therefore, they can say, we have a library, but that library door is locked all the time. Other places don't even have libraries. Other places have libraries that are maybe open for 1 hour a day, and they only have, five books, three of which are in Hebrew and one's on, wooden toys from the 1930s. And then the fifth one's invisible, I don't know. But the point is, prisoners across the country are requesting books for their own self-education. And The Dictionary, like I said, is the single most requested book across the country. I've been talking to publishers about getting significant discounts if we purchase bulk dictionaries. And so I'm starting a fund that I'd love to talk to anyone who's working with BFP in the area, basically where we can raise as much money. It'll be about roughly $5 would buy a dictionary. If we can raise as much money as possible in the next 2 months, I'd love to purchase a huge amount of dictionaries to be distributed to as many of those people who have requested dictionaries throughout the Midwest, the Mid-Atlantic, the Eastern region, the West Coast, wherever, around holiday season. So it would be about five, but I'm not soliciting money, but I'm letting you all know that working with this kind of fundraiser and working with BFP, hopefully, we can get a program where about $5 would purchase a dictionary that will then get into the hands of someone who needs it more than a lot of people, more than most in the world. So if you're interested in talking to me more about that or working on starting that kind of fund in this area, find me. I'm on a freakishly tall bike that's right over there next to the food table. So if you don't find me wandering around in all blue, which I realized a second ago, you can find me over by my bike. Thanks for your time. Oh yeah, my name is Sean, by the way. Thank you.
Okay, before
we
go to the next two folks, we're sort of in an open mic section now. So if people have things that they want to say, thoughts, whatever it is, feel free to come up here. I do want to just remind everyone that General Assembly meetings will be happening every day at 5:30. So tomorrow evening, same bat time, same bat channel here at Reynolds Park at 5:30 p.m. will be the General Assembly meeting. Again, updates about what working groups are involved in, and then also any proposals that people might have for future activity, folks should know. I have two people on the list to speak, Nalia, and she'll be followed by Bruce.
Can I just make a quick technical thing about the
mic? Sure.
All right, I'm gonna just talk loudly because I think you can hear me from down there.
What?
So, the mic, it's tripping out if you speak suddenly very loudly. It will trip so that it doesn't break. So if you can kind of keep from suddenly yelling into the mic, then it won't turn off.
Can I get a little bit of help with this CD here?
Hurry up, Bradley!
What is that?
Yeah, build up. It's create temporary dramatic tension.
Can I get the song? I brought a song here you guys might be familiar with. It's called "Wake Up Everybody" by Harold Melville and the Blue Notes. Some of us youngsters, hipsters, might have heard John Legend's version of it with the Roots. They've just done a remake of it, but while he's hooking it up, if you know, I might sing a little bit before I go ahead here. And I wanted to share a blog. I work three jobs. I have two home care jobs and an office job. And I stayed up all night writing this, so I'm really going on no sleep. But this ain't the first time I've been out organizing on no sleep, because I believe strongly, strong supporter of Barack Obama. And I also have done the same work. Night shift, and then get up and go protest all day in Chicago for free Tibet against the Beijing Olympics, and then go right back to another night shift worth of work. So, he's looking this up. You know, if anybody knows this, I thought we might kind of lighten it up a little bit. There's no movement without a movement, people. No movement without a movement. So I brought here some music for us to groove to for a little bit, and then like I said, I want to go ahead and share with you this blog I put out on my blog, BarackObama.com. For the organization Organizing for America. I've been doing that since July 4, 2007, Independence Day. So that's what I call my blog under my name, Nalia. My name is Nalia Nagai, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, born and raised, and really happy to be here and see everybody out here representing, because if anything, people have said, anybody heard that we basically here in Madison helped influence that Arab Spring over there, which in turn helped influence the Occupy Wall Street, which has hit D.C. and is just spreading everywhere. So I'm so glad to be living in this moment and sharing this with you guys. You know, like I said, this is a movement. So he's getting ready to get us kind of loosen up a little bit, because what I got to say is some heavy stuff right here. So I want everybody to just kind of loosen up a little bit, feel the movement, feel the groove a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Sing along with me, sing along with the music right fast, you know what I mean? Before I drop a lot of heavy knowledge on you right here. But this is one of over, I think I've got about 150 some blogs out, but each one is an original creative artistic work. I write poems, I write essays, I write commentaries on other people's speeches and works and essays. I keep up and ahead of, if anything, very prophetically keeping up and ahead of the mainstream media with my own little piece of citizens journalism. And the blog that I'd like to read for you is entitled part of a series called Voices for Change, which is my group on if you're looking for my blog, it's under my name, Nalia. It's under the group also Voices for Change on the community blogs on BarackObama.com.